Hello, everybody. My name is Thomas Domva. I also go by the name of Anani Mouse. I am here with, well, one of the guys. Randy Rushneck is here with me. Hello, Randy.
The important one.
Right.
So let's talk about Mike Malarkey.
Malarkey. He is currently having his house under construction.
Yeah, how is this for an excuse? They have pulled out all of his equipment. That didn't come out right, did it?
Hardware technology, that is.
Yeah, hardware equipment. He went into his tech room and everything had been dismantled. How's that for an excuse?
Exactly. I guess they took away his internet and everything while they did the refurbishment. Now, I don't know how long this will go for, but nonetheless, Mike is not going to be joining us. So welcome to the AppleViz Unleashed.
I can just hear him when they pulled out the equipment. Ouch.
It is July already. Can you believe it, man? We're halfway through the year already?
Halfway through.
It's blazing through, just like we are blazing through the summer heat of the Northern Hemisphere.
Before we launch into our show for real, I want to tell everybody that my Apple Watch, I thought it was only, maybe a year and a half, it's almost 2 years old, but apparently it's older than even I am.
Wow.
Yeah, I believe that's true because I queried the weather. I said, I looked on the face. I've got it set for the moon face, and that has a few complications on weather. It has, a few other things that I really like, and it has like four or five different things that I really use a lot. So I looked at the weather, and it said 75, sunny.
Hey, who's 75? Who's pushing that? Yeah.
Well, I thought I used to call everybody, well, I call everybody Sonny, but it's called me Sonny now, so it must be older than myself.
No.
I figure it was apropos because it's Apple.
Listen now, personally, that's really nice. Now, I got to ask you this. Now, do you have a ring or anything similar to your ring?
Do I have a ring?
Doorbell? Not yeah. You wear, but a doorbell ring. Sorry.
Geez, I thought we were going to get real personal.
Yeah. Tell us about it. Now, have you noticed? Is it just me, or does the ring is temperamental when it comes to battery during the really cold part of the winter and really hot part? Like it drains faster.
Well, in fact, it does, and I really want to get two batteries for it to supplant one with the other, and. While one, I've got the two, the second generation. I don't know, which one do you have, the two or the one?
I had the second one as well, but I noticed it drains quickly.
Mine takes about maybe 3 months.
Okay. Well, if those out there that are listening, I'm curious what your experience is. 3 months, that's about it, huh?
Yeah, and when I would like to get a second battery, and I sent them an email stating I'd like a new battery. Mm-hmm. And they said the batteries weren't currently in stock. I've been waiting since December, and supposedly they're gonna.
Oh, no way!
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking about buying a battery. You're telling me they're backlogged since.
Well, I don't believe that. I'm just gonna send them another email. So they probably misplaced it. Yes. Apparently, they don't realize who I am.
Well, that's true. You know, I should have taken advantage of the Amazon Prime Day. I should have bought it, but I didn't.
We are going to talk about it. I don't know if we have time for it toward the end of the show, but we can certainly talk about it because I got some fantastic deals.
Oh, no, go for it. That's exactly why I bought it.
Right now, I can talk about it.
What did you buy? You can be sure. You don't have to be like detailed.
I can be short. Okay. All right. Well, I bought myself. I was really... on my Accessibility Moving Forward podcast, or not mine, but our Accessibility Moving Forward on another network. I was talking about the Amazon TV products, and 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and I started looking at deals because I knew I wanted a TV for my exercise room. So I picked up an Amazon Fire 32 inch for $99.
Wow. I saw that they had a Fire Stick for like $14. I was just going, that's a phenomenal price.
Yeah. What did you Did you get anything?
No, I didn't get anything, but I should have, you know. You know, I'll tell you a little story and then we'll move on. But
all right.
I almost had to get a new Roomba in a way, because we, you know, we just got a new Roomba for Christmas, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was sitting in the family room just minding all my business, and we call the Roomba Roomby. So Roomby's running around doing her thing. She's cleaning. And all of a sudden, it smelled like a horse barn. And
oh, no.
I said, why does it smell so bad in here like a horse barn? I said, honey, would you see why it smells like a horse barn? Well, I don't know why it would do that, so I'll look. Well, evidently, one of the dogs decided to
do a little doo-doo
on the floor. And Roomby, you know, it's starting to sound like these articles. And I would read, I said, all those idiots. You know, that would never happen to me. But no, I am one of those Nimrods that yes, Roomby got caught up in one of the doo-doo. And it was going, and sure enough, I was like, oh, my glob.
Well, you're not the only one, my son.
Really? You too?
Well, yeah. The same thing happened to me, and I've got five dogs, and one of them is a golden retriever. And so the same thing happened, and so I tore it all apart, and, you know, I just worked on it and put it back together, and I mean, I really cleaned it good with a little agent and some mm-hmm. stuff and put it back together, and it wouldn't work. So I called and explained the situation mm-hmm. to the company. And I said, you know, I don't want to be too literal here, but I have five dogs and mm-hmm. I have a Roomba and they go, okay, I got it. So did you use any cleaning solution on it?
Yeah, we took the whole thing apart, cleaned it by hand, then we sat outside in the sun to let it dry, and then it's working again, but never again. I'm going to, like, cage up the dog next time.
Did it work? No?
It did work. It's working just fine again. We they're going to send us a new brush.
And, oh, good.
So I had to share that story.
So I'm not done. So mine didn't work after that. So so they said, as a courtesy, we will, you don't ever, you know, like, got a little hand slap, you know.
Yeah.
Don't ever do that again. Well, that hand slap must have felt kind of good, because I got the Roomba, gonna get set to turn it on, and it was really raining out that day. Just really raining. Everybody left the house to go grocery shopping except me. I said, I will work really hard today, and I will vacuum the floor. Well, you know, it's not hard work when you have a Roomba.
That's right. So,
and I literally checked the house and made sure everything was okay. Turned it on, and the same thing happened. I said, this is a very familiar smell.
I know, you can't miss it. It's like, I did not realize we have a horse barn, because it's really bad.
Yeah, and so the same thing did happen. I took it apart. I really cleaned it really well, and I made sure that everything was completely dry, and it's been fine ever since. Mm-hmm. But if you, ladies and gentlemen, watch YouTube, you will find similar stories. We are not the only ones that have this problem. So I suggest, or I submit to you guys, that if you decide to turn it on at 1 a.m. and you have dogs, make sure that it's scheduled to go, but you get up and check the house first before you.
Mm-hmm. Not just dogs, but cats too.
Oh, sure.
You know, they can cough up, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. So,
well, you know, this month is also Applebee's birthday. So this is the 9th year, which I can't believe it's been 9 years since Applebee's.
Happy birthday. Well, that's true. I wish I could become part of the Applebee's team. I really do. You know, I really think I really do. Seriously, that's really cool. I really am happy to be here as usual. And
no, it's
glad that we're still going, you know.
Well, I have to thank David. Thank you, David.
Good. Oh, yeah, thanks, David.
Yep. Existent at all if it wasn't for you. And you know, this is a good time to remind everybody that we do have a club, Applebee's. That is a membership that if you would like to donate and contribute to Applebiz in some way of donation. We do offer a club Applebiz that will help out us keep Applebiz running with our lights on and stuff. So remember, we have the club Applebiz. And then, of course, you know, Michael, of course, he pictured the one and only month that we had the World Emoji Day as well. You know that, right? So he's like, oh, they're going to talk about emojis, so I'm just not going to be there. That's why I could just hear him say that already. But it was a year last year, if you remember, Apple sent to their consortium of these, whoever is the holder of the emojis, but we called the accessibility emojis, like guide dog and the ear with the hearing aid. Those are finally coming. I was so excited. They made the announcement. It will be available this fall. We finally will get our accessibility. I was wondering how long it took. I didn't think it would take a whole year. I was like, gosh darn, that's a long time to wait.
Well, I don't really have anything to say, but probably it took a while to clean up those dogs after the Roomba chased him. That's all I can say for the guide dogs, you know. Took a lot of work.
It is, and God bless them. And maybe this will be Michael's. Maybe he will change his little octopus. You know, he named his iPhone the Octopi. Maybe he'll change it to a guide dog or something.
Yeah, that's a doggy dog world out there.
Suggest it to him.
Yeah,
doggy dog.
Yep. But yeah.
Gosh, I was really surprised we had an update from Apple that they
too.
They released a MacBook Pro 13-inch this month. A lot of people didn't see that was coming. And I was surprised they totally axed a 12-inch model. You know, I know some people like the small factor, but I cannot use a 12-inch. I looked at those things and my fingers, I don't know, I just got big, fat fingers or something. But they got small. It's small, but now those are gone. So the 13-inch MacBook Pro, they now have the touch bar and the touch ID. So, of course, those are, you know, your old function key is now gone. You don't have that option. You had the option before, but not anymore with the MacBook Pro. Now, you still have the function key with the MacBook Air, of course, if you want to go that route. So, if you're a student, this is not a bad time to check it out because they have a price cuts just for students for $999 for the low-end MacBook Air 13-inch. And the MacBook Pro is going for $1,099. Now, the typical price is $1,099 and $1,299. So they got a big speed bump. I was very impressed with all the new setup on there. So I think a lot of people were excited to see that a 13-inch came out. Now, those that don't like the touch bar probably are going, boo, boo.
Well, I know a few people that really dislike the touch bar still. So
I don't know. It's just... you know, some people, I get both. I see people that love it, and I see people that hate it. So it's a this or that. But nonetheless, it was a surprise release. I was not expecting that this month. But you know, Apple is Apple. They will put out whatever they want.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's for sure.
Now here's a rumor, and it's only a rumor right now. And I was kind of mixed on this, that Apple was considering maybe doing some exclusive content podcasts. So they will make their own original podcast. So they will have their own podcast series or shows like they do on the app coming up, Apple TV Plus. They'll have their own original series, you know. But this is for podcasts. So I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, I think it's kind of funny. Podcast. I thought you said Siri, but podcast series. Okay. Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know how it's gonna affect people for the good or for the bad. I don't even know what they're gonna be talking about. But I did hear that it was coming out. Do you think they're gonna be talking about accessibility or what do you think?
No, heck no. It'll be named. You know, it's not an old thing. I mean, everybody, you know, let's just say take Spotify. They have their own original podcast. So, you know, let's go back way back. Sirius FM, you know, they got their own set of people that are on there. Like, what's that guy's name here? Harold Stein, or I can't remember that guy's name, but so they have their own original show. So I see Apple is thinking, we ought to take advantage of this. So no, I think there'll be mainstream podcasts, but it'd be kind of like Beats One that they have.
Oh boy.
have on right now on Apple Music. You can only get, you know, honestly, I probably won't even listen to them. It's just probably wouldn't be there for me. It's hard to say. My question is, it going to be subscription? If it's going to be subscription, forget it. No, I'm not going to do it. No way.
My bet is it possibly could be.
Yeah, can you imagine? So we'll have a TV Plus, we have a News Plus, arcade, mm-hmm. music, and now we'll have a Podcast Plus. Maybe. Who knows? But this is all rumors, and they are talking about it. But so I wanted to let people know that this possibly could be coming and what to expect, that they'll have their own original podcast content coming.
If it's not subscription, I might give it a listen just to see what the content is, just for the heck of it.
True. That's true. If it's good stuff, I might, because I am really heavily into podcasts, just like you are. I listen uh-huh. to them every day.
Oh yeah.
But some people don't take the time. They only pick their certain favorite ones, and I get that, because they only have a certain amount of time per day. So it's all good, right?
So how do you listen to your cast? Do you listen to them fast or slow or at normal speed?
I do it fast. I use Overcast. I'll do that almost 2x.
Mm-hmm. I do the same thing.
Yep, that way I'll be half the time of everything. So you know what? I've gotten so used to it, it doesn't bother me at all. One time I was playing in a card for my wife, and she's like, "What in the world is that?" And she could not understand a thing. I said, "Really? You can't understand that?" So yeah, I have everything I can do. Compress it, take all the silence out, everything. Just go.
I do the same thing. One of my students that I'm working with listens at that rate of speed, and it's so fast. And he's using the eSpeak with NVDA.
Well, you know, I get what you're saying. It's amazing. I thought I had mine pretty quick. I mean, I have my
this is insanely quick. You know how eSpeak is, right?
Right, right. Yeah. You know, now I'm curious. Let's just say, take our iPhone. What is your?
I've got mine at 70%.
Wow. See, mine's only at 60.
Yeah, but I'm running Alex, though. You know. So.
Okay. It does make a difference on voices.
Yeah, it does.
Do you know people that have it 100%?
I don't. I can understand it at that rate of speed, but I don't enjoy it at that rate of speed. I don't know how else to put it, but sometimes, like a lot of people, they will come in and they go, "Whoa, why do you have your stuff set so fast?" I don't think it's that fast. I think 70% Alex is just about right for me, but I always come back and say, "Well, I really can't understand it. I just do it for attention."
Let's see what Apple's been busy buying people. Gosh, I couldn't believe they bought the Intel Smart Modem component from Intel. So instead of this is just a mess. I mean, they just got done dumping Intel, and they had to go back groveling back to Qualcomm that they dumped. And now it's funny. It's just funny how they're doing this. So I guess they bought this out for $1 billion. They're going to bring it in-house. I honestly think this is an awesome move on many fronts. I think one, I know Apple is going to make advantage of it. It's going to just scream and holler really fast speed-wise, because they got their only one hardware to deal with. So I think it's going to be beautiful, but it's going to be at least a couple of years before we see this in action. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So speaking of all that, as a sidelight, maybe I'm jumping the gun, but what do you think of all the talks and rumors about the 11 and the 12? Do you have any intentions on buying the 11, or are you going to wait for the 12 to come out? I know you upgrade every year. I know you do. So is it something that interests you, or are you going to just hold off? And then I'll give you my opinion.
Well, here's the deal. I have Sprint, and now we have the Sprint T-Mobile merger. I'm going to have to see how that's going to affect me. Because do I want to go ahead and just buy out my phone this year and not go to 11? That's a possibility. That's the first time that I will have to say that that might be a possibility. However, saying that, if I were not have the ability to do it every year, I would say no. I would wait until 12. From what I understand, the 11 is just not going to be great at all. I mean, We're it's now coming to August. We're a month out before the phones, and most of the leaks are already out about the phones. So, we spoke about it before. We got the three lenses on the back, and we got a new lens on the front. It's all going to be about camera this year.
Yeah,
maybe some battery, but and some little things. But that is it. There isn't any fancy thing about it. It's next year. That's going to be really nice with the 5G, and that's going to make a difference for all of us visually and not visually. So. Plus, they're talking about maybe some 3D sensors in the back for next year for making AR capability on the iPhone 12. So honestly, I just hold back. I really do. If you have a 10R or a 10S, I don't see any reason why to go down or I fall down.
Yep, go down to the to the 11. No, I'm still I'm limping along with my 8 still. I don't see any reason to go forward. I just don't. From what I have been following on YouTube, and I always make it a practice at night to, this is where I catch up on a lot of my tech, is when I'm sleeping. Or well, you know, just about ready to sleep. I love cruising through YouTube. I get so much out of YouTube's videos. And they're all bringing a lot of Apple news, and I think I'm going to wait. Don't care about the big notch, don't care about the screen, don't care about the only thing I care about is you know, mostly, you know, nothing that my 8 can't do already, really. And it's not that I like my 8 that well, but there's nothing wrong with it. And I'm going to be at the end of my contract, and I just can't see putting out more money for it. Now, this is just strictly my opinion, but so far my 8's doing just fine. I got a brand new case for my 8. It's totally waterproof, and I don't even remember the name of it, but I found it on eBay. And the, you know, the side switch, the mute switch on it that you flick, what's that, rocker switch from side to side? Yeah. There's a knob on the case that inside the knob is connected like a toilet flapper. And when you turn the knob, it flips the flapper and it flips the
That's kind of funny, man. I like that.
Yeah, and it does flip that, and it makes the switch, you know, go from side to side, and you can actually hear it. And sometimes I'll just, you know, play with it just because it's just kind of cool. But it's sealed completely in this plastic, little plastic box. That's the case. Got a really nice feel to it. It's nice and big, and the screen conductivity is amazing. I don't remember the name of it, but if you look on eBay for waterproof cases, you might find it. Or, you know, I don't know, if we get enough requests, maybe we can put it in the show notes. I'm not sure, but it was like $15, and I love the thing. It's great. I literally could take it into the shower with me if I wanted to, you know.
Now, some people say they don't like the waterproof one because it muffles the volume. They're the speakers.
Not mine.
Wow. Okay. So sometimes I would feel one of those, and you could just feel it just vibrating along there. It's just like it's like touching a whole, you know, put your finger on a speaker and you could feel it just vibrate back.
Yeah, the only thing that I have an issue with is the way that the speaker is routed through is that when I'm doing some broadcasting from another app like WhatsApp or some of these other apps, the screen reader is extremely loud. I don't know, it's the way it's piped through, but the sound coming out of it is just fine.
Okay, well, I'm just curious because I've always wanted to get one, but I was afraid that it would muffle the sound, and I didn't want that.
I'll send you a link.
One, but I also didn't know if it would breathe. How does it function? I mean, it needs to breathe to cool off, right?
I don't know the answer to that question. I have a yeah, it does. To charge it though, I've got one of those sorry about that. That's one of my dogs that likes chasing my Roomba, and you know. Mm-hmm. I've got the wireless charger that I have, it has a fan built into it, so it cools as it charges.
Oh, and, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So I'll send you the link and see what you think of it.
All right. Good enough.
If you want to buy it, you know, we'll see. It's only $15. You know, you've got an extra $15 laying around.
Oh, yeah. $15 is not bad. It's not bad at all. Now, speaking of a new little thing, we got a rash full of or a handful of new updates. We've got 12.4 iOS that came out.
Yep, got it. Got it.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I was like expecting to be able to apply for the Apple Card like as soon as I dropped. Nope, Apple Card was nowhere to be found.
No, like, but I hear it's
12.4 was the Apple Card, you know?
Right, but it's coming though. It's literally coming in just a few days, I hear now.
Yeah, they made it official today. It would be out in August. But am I wrong when they said they thought that was going to be out in May?
I don't remember May. I do remember July, but I didn't know about May. But
okay.
But yeah, I hear the card is cool and it's really going to work cool, according to people that have known people who are. Is beta testing the right term for card using?
Yes.
But they've got to get it all lined up and ready for us to go before we can make purchases.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess the two major things out of this 12.4, there's two major. One is the iPhone migration. This is...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The new thing. I thought this was... Oh, I did not know this was coming. I thought, oh, my gosh, this is fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
You know how we have... Right now, we have the quick start. A lot of people may not know that. Like, when you get your new iPhone, you just put both the phone together when you first log into your new phone. And there's this like, hey, would you like to do a quick start? And then it'll send like each other like a QR code and use the other phone to snap it. And then it'll just bypass some of the steps that you need to do in order to restore your phone. Well, now this new migration, after you put the quick start on and you pair it up, it will now bypass the cloud all offline and transfer mm-hmm. off your phone to the new one. I thought, wow, that is fantastic. You know, that's got to be a lot. Well, I hope it's faster. I don't know. Maybe it's using Bluetooth. That would be slow.
Oh, man.
I'm hoping that they use your Wi-Fi, your current existing Wi-Fi, and they'll transfer over. That would be fast. That would be awesome. It's got to be faster than the iCloud.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that we are at the beginning of the end to see iCloud backups, if this is the case. I'm really feeling that it might, if it's perfected. Now, the only... issue that I have is that if I want to send somebody a password, my password for Wi-Fi, it never works for me. Never, ever.
You know, you have to be in a certain situation. You have to do this. So when they see your Wi-Fi, let's just say they're ready and say, okay, is this your Wi-Fi? And you say yes. And once they tap on that and I ask for a password, just wait. Don't do anything. And it should pop up in somebody's phone, one of your iPhones, and it will say, do you want to share it with such and such? That's the only time you can get it to come up.
Right. Yep. I realized that it did, but it's never worked for me ever.
Wow.
And I waited and waited, but I was standing on my head one time and it did work. So maybe that's the secret. I'm not sure, but it did work one time for me. It seriously did. One time it worked.
Well, we did that a couple of weeks ago with my family, and you know, we all have iPhones, and so one of us got it, and they're like, how come it's asking me it such and such wants to share a Wi-Fi? I said, well, because they need to get on the Wi-Fi, and I was waiting for it myself, but one of my kids got it instead, so I guess it was trying to figure out which phone to send it to. It was interesting. Now, they had some other major updates. I was very shocked to see if you still have an iPhone 4S or a 5. Oh my gosh. They released a rare update. I couldn't believe that. The 9.3.6 iOS and 10.3.4. How old is that?
Old.
Yeah. So if you still have that, you got a new update for those devices that will fix, well, it will prepare you for your GPS, because in November, your GPS is going to flip out, and this is what the update is for, is so that you can continue to use your device with the GPS, and include some security updates. I was like, oh, that is so weird. I mean, I looked it back, and I said, have they ever done it before? They have done it before. It's rare, but I think it's been a couple of years since they've done that, so I was shocked to see that they would even still want to do it for those with 4S and 5. I was like, oh, there must be still enough of them that they want to make sure it still works.
That's crazy. I don't know I think the oldest phone I have seen in existence was an iPhone. It was right before Siri. Was that the 4S? Did they got Siri? Or was that the 4?
I think the 4S was when Siri came out.
So, yeah. Anyway, one of the people that I was working with had the phone. It didn't have Siri. And, they were, obviously a little behind the time.
Oh, wow.
And
they still had the iPhone 4.
And they really wanted Siri. And I go, too bad. You just can't do it.
That's unbelievable. I mean, just to think that they still have something that old. I would think a lot of iOS apps wouldn't work on it. I mean, I've seen a lot saying if you got to have 11.
Oh, yeah.
So at some point you have to. So anyway, that was interesting. And then today we had the Apple third quarter revenue. Nothing new here. I mean, yes, they beat expectation, which is great news. It's wonderful. But what's interesting out of this notes is that this is the first time since 2012 that the iPhone portion, the revenue of what the total revenue is less than half.
Yep. I remember that.
Wow. So this is the first time since 2012, and there was a drop of 12% from last year. So, but to make up for it, as we always said, the wearable and services keep gaining the momentum to equalize out. But I don't know what to think of that. But
well, they're not in trouble by any means. They're just the percentages have just dropped off. But where I do think that there are issues is that I think a lot more people are doing two things. They either are keeping their devices or they're, you know, a lot of people are switching because they just want to try something new. So I don't think there's anything that they aren't hurting.
They're still selling the 10Rs quite heavily. And I agree with you, but they're still selling. It's a matter of people just still holding on to their device.
Yeah.
That's where it's all coming down to. People are just holding them longer. But yeah, you're right. They're nowhere near anywhere of being in trouble or anything. I mean, they still made $53 million in revenue, so that's not shabby. They're still making a lot of money. Don't you worry about that at all.
Oh, I'm not worried about it. Believe me, I'm not worried about it. Nope. They did state, though, in a couple of videos that I've been paying really close attention to, save up your money for the 12, guys. Boy, I hear that one's really going to be pricey.
Going to be pricey and going to hopefully offer a lot of new stuff that'll be worth updating to.
I'm really looking forward to the next model after the 11. But yeah, as I said, not too excited about the 11.
Yep. Now, as usual, this is my part second for July of the new upcoming iOS 13. Last month, we covered everything about the accessibility. I thought I'd cover some of the things that you can expect that I found pretty useful. Like, for example, we will have real-time transit information within Maps. So right now, it shows us the schedule of the bus when it's supposed to be there. But this time, this fall, you'll have real-time. It'll tell you where it is at the moment and when it's expected to be where at your location. So as soon as the cities offers that surfaces, you'll have real-time transit information. I like to usually share my ADA, the ETA. You'll be able to do that within the Maps now, which is kind of a cool deal. And you have the flight status. So if you are a flyer like Scott, he's always flying, it will now have flight status on your Maps, which is kind of a nice feature as well. And then lastly, we have the improved spoken directions. You know, right now Maps always says you will be taking a left in 100 feet.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people are like, what's 100 feet? I don't know what 100 feet. They're going to improve on that. They're actually going to try to do more landmarks. So you'll say you're going to turn left just past the Taco Bell on the left.
Oh, that's great. I know when I was driving in a car with a fellow who was a lady teacher, we were using to test out nearby Explorer, and it was just exactly that, turn in 100 feet. So, and I'm wondering, well, gee, you know, to me, what is 100 feet when we're driving in a car?
Exactly.
But I was so impressed with nearby Explorer in the drive mode. It was pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to offer a little bit more easy to understand when to turn, because a lot of that is very confusing. You don't know which light they're meaning to turn left or whatever, but now they're making that easier. Safari has some pretty cool stuff I like. You now have more option to control per site. So like if I go to alphabets.com, I can say I want these kind of fonts here. I want the desktop mode. I don't want the mobile site. And that is now more configurable per site, which is you have a lot more option to configure to per site, which is great. I love that.
Cool.
Well, my favorite is the download manager. At last, we have a download manager. So when I double tap on a file, it'll ask me where to save, and I'll say save it to my cloud, and I'll just save it right up there. It's beautiful. I love that feature.
It sounds like they're giving us more control, which is something that really we need.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not sure if anybody will do this, but one of the big advertisements is that if you have a lot of tabs open, you can now say, I want all these tabs to be as bookmarked, and I'll bookmark them all. And then my favorite, most favorite, is that you can now have a setting to close your tabs. So I'll have like 10 tabs open, and this will automatically close them for me after a certain number of days. So after 1 day, 3 days, 10 days. So I set mine for a day. It closes mm-hmm. them all by themselves. So that is so cool. I wish they would do that to the app switcher, but they
Me too. Me too. I get so tired of closing each individual app all the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, the only annoying thing I don't like about the new Safari, if I go to a website and I'm putting in a password for a site, it will tell me, hey, you're using a really weak password. You really got to change that. And I was like, hey, man, that's my business. But, you know, it is kind of a cool thing, just a kind of a friendly reminder that you're using a weak password. You should use something stronger.
Now, mine, I think my password is really good. And according to some of the Apple sites, or to some of the sites, rather, it says it's weak and some don't say anything. But I don't see how mine can be weak because it's full of, you know, all kinds of stuff.
No, I get it. We also have dark mode. I mean, everybody knew about that. But what I didn't know is that you could schedule your dark mode. You know how that nighttime thing where if it's nighttime, it turns into a different kind of a lighting. Mm-hmm. Stuff? Mm-hmm. It has the same thing for dark mode. So you could say only use dark mode when it gets dark outside. So from sunset to sunrise, it'll use dark mode and then you can come out of it. That, I thought that was kind of cool. Not that I would ever use it, but
not us.
A lot of people are in the beta cycle talking about this slide typing or some call it, how would they call it? I don't, it's slide typing is going to give FlickType a run for the money. It is as you slide your fingers around, it's going to do predictive typing for you on the fly. Instead of suggested word at along the top, it will automatically, you can hear the word as you start sliding around all the different words and you let up on the key and I'll put that word down. So let's just say I'm spelling Thomas. I go to T and I'll slide to H-O-M-A-S where I think it's going to be and I'll automatically put Thomas down.
So is it, I know it's not predictive, but as you're typing, when do you start hearing these results?
As you're sliding.
As you're sliding. Okay. Wow. Yep. And then just let up and it enters it right in.
Yep.
So what are we talking about with FlipType? You think that will kind of fall by the wayside or do you think they've improved on it so much that we don't have to worry about it?
I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know how it's going to affect it, but they got to be worried about it because I find it, at first, there is a learning curve to it. I'm going to warn people when you first get it, it is a learning curve. And thankfully, you can turn it off within your rotor. So if you don't like it, you can just go to your rotor and say turn off. And then you can just go back to your touch typing. But during my touch typing, if I put T and then I go direction to the H and then I, it'll go this. I said nope. And I'll go down to N and I'll go, thin. And then over to G, things. Okay. So it tells you as you move your finger around.
Cool. Is this something you're going to leave in your rotor, do you think?
I am going back and forth on it. There's times mm-hmm. I like it and there's times I don't. Especially when I am trying to type a person's name on the address bar. Mm-hmm. It's not really going over a word. I'll have it off. But it's kind of a nice thing because I can just go to rotor turn off and then go to rotor turn back on. So it's mm-hmm. not like I have to go all the way to the settings and turn it on and off.
So it is in the rotor and you can just shut it on or off at will. That's yep. good.
Exactly. Good. Exactly.
Good. So how far are we along in this now?
Beta 5.
Yeah, and we don't have Siri yet, right? The new Siri.
We do have the new Siri. Ooh. It is running, and it sounds as beautiful as it is. I can tell a huge difference when we are talking about punctuation. So in other words, inflection. So if I put a question mark or an exclamation mark, she does a beautiful job. But now I will say this, I don't know this for a fact, but it's only for Samantha or the Siri voice, the female. Mm-hmm. So it is not at this time, it does not work for male or any other country.
And it's just personal preference. I prefer the
Siri male.
Do you? I don't, but yeah, that's all subjective.
So I'm back to the female. just because it does make a big difference, I think. And now in certain circumstances, it won't, you won't tell a whole lot of differences. So if I ask for current temperature, you really can't tell the difference. It's only when I'm using messages and when there's a lot of punctuation involved, then I get to hear that inflection. It really shines really well.
So any improvement, or is it just remaining the same? Is there any type of
time? There's no male voice, and I don't think male voice.
Right. And, but is there any improvement in anything else like dictation or anything? No. Okay. Oh man. No.
Dictation is still the same.
I was just, this is, let's see if I can put it eloquently. I was typing to a really important individual, and I was listening to it back, and just before it sent, you know, it obviously says, you know, do you want to send, but it echoed me back. I don't remember the wording, but it at the very end of my sentence, it added the words blank off.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, this is some serious, serious issue.
Yeah.
And if I weren't paying attention, I'd send it, you know, that whoop, I can imagine what, you know, and sometimes I don't know if you get this either, but do you know, have you ever ran into a time where you will say, do you want to append? And you go, yes. And it'll go, okay. Whoop, and it will send it anyway.
You know,
you ever ran into that?
I can't tell if I'm mumbling or if it's my Lord.
No,
voice or
no,
what,
no, no, no.
I, you know, it makes me wonder sometimes. And I, you know, I don't know. Gosh, what else? There's a new battery, the way it charges your battery, which is kind of cool. What it does, it learns how you charge your battery throughout the day. So if you're one of those that top your battery off all throughout the day, what it's going to do now, it's going to trickle your, it's going to automatically do a fast charging up to 80%, and then it's going to stop and just do a very slow trickle. Because this is what they do with the Tesla cars, which I didn't realize. This is how they, the problem is people topping it off all the time, going straight to 100%. That's what's killing your battery life. And so this is going to extend your battery life quite a bit. So if you find that when you get iOS 13 and you're going in the middle of the day and you're trying to fast charge it and it stops at 80% and it goes super slow, that is why it's doing that, because it knows that you do a full charge at night and it'll let you go real fast charging up to 100% at night.
Yeah, well, I don't do that. I use mine until it's depleted, and then because let's face it, I mean, we pretty much have power wherever we go these days, or we carry at least I do. I carry one of those great big slabs of battery power, you know, the 20,000, and it's big. And since I haven't eaten so many cookies lately, over the past couple of years, let's just say I have to cinch up my belt when I put that in my pocket, cause it's really heavy. So I deplete mine at night and I charge it right when I go to bed.
Yeah, so what do you think of that? I like it. If you extend my battery life, I'm definitely for it. I thought that was a cool thing. I want to let everybody know. And then one of my most favorite is the silence callers. I use that now. You know, you and I always talked about, we always use Umail, right?
Oh, yeah.
I don't use it anymore. I dumped Umail and I dumped the other ones. You don't need RoboKiller anymore with this, because what it does is that if you're not in my contact, it gets straight to the voicemail. And so that's what I did. I just set up that. So this is coming to iOS 13. And if it's not in your contact, it goes straight in there. Now, like me, what I do is I always put all my clients in there first before I do that. And that way I don't miss any client call. But even so, I mean, you can still leave a voicemail. And it has been beautiful. I absolutely love it. Now, I was talking to Dave Nason about it, and he's like, I don't think they have nearly as much of the spam problems we do here. I have a terrible spam. Every day I get, gosh, 3, 4, 5 maybe a day.
Well, I have been in several resorts with quite a few cuties, because they're all saying that I spent the night there and they want to have me back in the Florida resort. And boy, I sure don't remember, you know, doing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And they just spam me.
Oh my God. My issue is that I I don't like their voicemail service. I just don't like it. Mm-hmm. And that's probably why I would still continue to use Umail. Mm-hmm. Because I get a lot of calls that come in and I take them either for our cast or for, well, not so much our cast, but for, I run a tech training line. And so I get calls coming in and I do want to record them and send them places. So that's what I use Umail for. Yeah. So for me, I don't think I'd probably use that.
Umail is great if you find yourself running out of voicemail box space. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of cool features that you can use as well. Mm-hmm. Send them response and send them that I verify that I did get your voicemail. All sorts of cool stuff. So,
and it announces. It is. I get, you know, my Umail, it knows who they are. Like it'll say, hello, Thomas, you know?
Exactly. It says, hello, Thomas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that is really personable. And I love that. Mm-hmm. And then the last one I'm going to mention is Find My. So we now collage the Find My phone and Find My
friends
into one called Find My. That is really kind of cool. Now, locating your friends is normal. The devices is what's amazing because I have family sharing. So now I see everything. I see my wife's phone, her watch, our MacBooks, all everything. I'll tell you exactly where everybody's stuff is at. Instead of had them log in by their Apple ID and then we have to go find your phone and all that, you don't mm-hmm. have to do that anymore. If you're under family sharing, it pulls everybody together as one. And I thought that is amazing. I love that.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah. I really like that idea.
Now on to Apple Vision news. Okay. I got a big one here, Randy. I got all a right. team about this is like the third time. Okay, folks, the third time this year, we have a developer getting upset with the vision, low vision, and blind community. Oh, my gosh, folks. I don't know what to say about this, but the people that make Crafting Kingdom, that is a big, big, big game. A lot of people, a lot of wars, everything was great about it. And they released a new game called Galactic Colonies. And they're a small company with small budget. Their plan was to, this is what they said, if you follow them at all, was this was going to be released first because we need to, you know, get our income met up so we can get some money coming in. And we are going to start working on voiceover after the release. Well, some people, and I know there's a few of you out there, and I understand this to a point. So hear me out. There are people that will go to any app that's not voiceover accessible, and they will give them a one star in the store, and it says not voiceover accessible. And the problem with this is that the people of Crafting Kingdom developer got so many of those one stars, and they didn't know that they're going to be working on voiceover, that it hurted them money-wise because they were getting negative feedback and stars, and so their game looked like it was terrible because it had too many one stars. And they kind of vented out on a blog saying, you know, this is not right. You guys, this is terrible. I don't like how we're being treated and all this. We have explained to you that we are coming with voiceover stuff. All right. So hear me out. If you're going to leave a one star, rightfully so, contact the developer first, ask them if they'd be willing to do it or if they're planning to come out with it first. And if they are, don't leave a one star, please. And if they are snooty, if they're snooty or they don't like about it, then give them one star. And I want you to do that. But don't give them one star right out of the chute. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too harsh on it. What do you think?
No, I think you're right. So as a side note, how do you contact the developer in case there are people out there that don't have any idea how to do it?
Well, typically, almost always, if you do an app review on AppleVis, we always try to put the developer website, and more mm-hmm. times than not, they should have at least a Facebook, Twitter, or a way to contact them. Now, if there's no way to contact them, yeah, I suppose that's the only way you can do it is just do a one star review and see mm-hmm.
My point is that there's always a way to contact them: Twitter, Facebook. Well, not so much Instagram for us guys, but well, for some of you maybe. But there's always a way to do it. So just
Now big companies like Facebook, you know, Instagrams, I don't think that, I don't know. It's just be weary about the smaller folks mm-hmm. that are known to do well for us, and don't jump to the conclusion. I mean, it's just saddens me because I don't ever recall in my life out of the past 9 years I've had an Apple device that I have three developers and within 7 months complain about the low vision community. It's sad.
Yep, it is.
And I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's just how it is. And I'm just, okay. So this is
good point. For
the people in the United States. And if you are in the United States, if you're familiar with the NFB Newsline mobile, so are you an NFB Newsline mobile user yourself?
Yes, I am. And I have not tried the beta, but I understand with the beta that they are using another app. And I'm trying to not laugh.
Yes, that's right. So what we're talking about is that NFB Newsline mobile app is in beta. And this is invitation only by people that receive an email. And I took advantage of it to the 3.0. And what Randy is talking about is they combine KNFB Reader with the NFB Newsline. I was like, what a weird combination, but how weird. And the timing of it was just like, that's kind of coincidence. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I use it and it's kind of weird. And now it's the basic form of the KNFB Reader. So I'm going to let you guys know that. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that you get a built-in KNFB reader for free with your NFB Newsline app. So if you like just the basic, which means that you can only do one page at a time, you can scan something and it'll produce what KNFB reader will typically do for you.
So if you like that, you might find it interesting. And I can't tell you how many hours of discussion I've had with friends of mine about what's happening and what we think and all kinds of stuff. But just suffice it to say, if this is something you might like, you might be interested in it.
I can see certain people out there that they're not familiar with VoiceStream Reader or VoiceStream Scanner and all that, and they just want to have a very simple layout. I can see this for some people, and they will like this new feature that's built into it. It's very nice. It's buggy. Of course, it's in beta. I don't know when it's going to come out of beta, so we have to wait and see. But I wanted to give those that are on the NFB Newsline a heads up what they're doing and the new updates coming down the pipe. And now we're going to finish up. Instead of giving tips, I decided to do some mailbags. I've gotten a lot of emails. Randy can help me out on some of this stuff because some of them I don't really know. So we're going to try to do it together.
Okay.
So my first mailbag is that, do you typically close all your apps within your app switcher? And if so, why? And why do you should not do that? So what do you say?
I sometimes, let me give you an example. It goes either way for me. Either I do or I don't. And I don't mean it to sound like I'm waffling between the two. But I will tell you that one time I handed my son my phone to do something. I don't remember what. And he said, "Dad, my God, all the apps that you've got open on your phone. Doesn't that slow it down?" Well, anyway, most of the time I find myself killing all my apps except Hiya, and that you have to leave running if you're using Hiya, which is a an app that will get rid of all the robot calls. Mm-hmm. So you leave that running so it can capture your calls. For the most part, I really do. But having said that, I'm going to tell you which ones I leave open. I leave Twitter open. I leave email open. And I think that's about really, I leave Overcast open. Those are about the ones that I leave in messaging.
Okay.
You see where I'm headed? I have a few that I, of my favorites.
The ones that you use frequently, you keep open. The ones you don't use very often are closing.
I should. close them.
And see, I have an OCD problem like you. I do the same thing. There's certain apps I want open all the time. There's certain ones I close every day. Mm-hmm. And that would be my Nest. I keep my Nest open because I want to check the temperature every day. Certain things like that I always keep open. Now, the question is, should I or should I not? in theory, my understanding is that if you find that your phone is slowing down for no apparent reason, yes, go ahead and close them. That's an advisable way. But they're also saying to keep it there, your app switcher, because you will save on your battery life if you do not close them, because it takes longer to load them and it takes more power to launch a new app because it has to bring it up. And so if you're having a lot of battery life issues, and then I would keep them open all the time. But otherwise, I don't know why. I just instinctively close them all up. I just feel better just knowing they're closed. But
I do too, and I don't know why. I just do. I don't have any battery issues. I have an OCD issue apparently.
Yeah, just like me. Yeah. If you have rogue issues, like something is really draining my battery really fast, and obviously, it's, you know, close out your GPS on any stuff.
Like that.
Yeah. Next question.
Oh, and seeing AI, obviously, I close too. Obviously.
Yes, I do. Yeah, that does. That is a battery.
Yeah.
That and WhatsApp.
Close that. Yeah.
Now, this is a good question. I didn't have an answer, but I did find one. Do we have any advice for an accessible battery pack that is accessible us for use?
Yeah. I do know of one. I know of two. I can't remember the name of one, but one that I do know of that's made by, his name is Barry Schur. I don't know if you search for that name, you may find, don't know the name of the company. Don't know if it's even still around. It used to be about a year ago, and that battery pack was called Secretary. And Secretary was one that said, you turn it on, it would say something like, "Ooh, you've turned me on, baby."
I only know one called Intergrid, and it's a 15,000 mAh battery, and it has a lot of beeps. So it will beep, 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 tells you when it's on and off. It'll tell you, it'll beep on the battery level and stuff like that. But I don't know if any of them would speak, though.
I don't know of any of them that speak that really gives you worthwhile information. I personally, my opinion, I don't care. I mean,
well, for some people, like, well, you know what? It is kind of nice to know how much battery I have left on my juice box. So if these listeners have any suggestions, leave a comment on this podcast. I will be curious what you have in mind that will help these other folks that are asking for these questions. Because I didn't know. I have two, but they're not accessible at all. I mean, I only know when they're on because I...
Because they're on. Yeah. Now, mine, I use an Anchor. It's a 20,000 and it's huge. And it says on the advertisement, let's see if I can do this without too much problem. I think I can. "We dare you to drain your slab." And it's a slab, a big slab of metal. And
it's got to be huge.
It is. And so I can get like at least 8 charges out of my phone, out of my 8. Yeah. 20, and so, 000. Yeah. So I don't care.
Wow. Well, that's true. See, mine is a smaller one. I have an 8,000. Mm-hmm. So after I charge 2 or 3 times where I'm vacation, I need to know, I have to ask my wife. I said, you know, is it getting low? I need to recharge it. But because you don't want to top those things off either, because again, you'll extend the battery life on it. So it's just a matter of good practice.
Well, mine, I think mine's like 3 years old and it's still going strong.
I know, right? Yeah. Why can't they make anything else that good? I mean, I can't figure out why they keep going as strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question.
And the last question is, do we use a password app to store our password? What do you use?
I use 1Password.
All right, now, I used to use 1Password, and then they started to do this little rigmarole where if you use the free version, which I have, they force you to use the subscription, and then they decided it was enough backlash that you can use it for free, but you can only store it on your device only. You can't sync it, nothing. And I was like, you know what? I'm done with you then. And I'm not the only one that said that. So if you're subscribing to 1Password, great. I think that's wonderful. I don't want to do a subscription for a password, so I use now something called Strongbox.
Oh, how do you like it?
Very accessible. I like it. What I do is I can sync it for free. I sync it to my Dropbox directly, and I have my wife on my Dropbox as well. And so we get the same password together. So we share the same password account. And so that way she can see my password and I can see her password. So if you are wanting something that you want to back up to a cloud, like Dropbox, look at Strongbox. And I highly encourage you to use that. And it's very accessible to use. And it's not as cumbersome as 1Password. 1Password is really good, but it's one of those bloatwares. There's just so much you can do with it. And this Strongbox is very simple. Very simple. There isn't much to it.
I've got like a whole lot of passwords. Can they be exported from
Strongbox?
Well, yeah, from one app to another.
Great question. I will have to look at that. I do know they use an open source extension. So there are many, many different apps and software and Windows that will take advantage of the same extension. Mm-hmm. You don't have to use Strongbox, which I like. As long as you know the password to get into it, you can open up anywhere you want.
So, well, yeah, right. But I mean, so the passwords that you already have in 1Password, I mean, can they be?
Oh, can they be imported to Strongbox? I doubt it. No. I know. I mean, does anything else export to 1Password? Probably not.
No, but I would have to go back.
Yeah.
It would take me all day.
Right. I get what you're saying. Once you have a very well-developed database, it's kind of like, I'm not taking the time to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to do that, but God, I got my credit cards in there. I got everything in there. So, you know, oh my God. I mean, oh my glob.
Yeah. There's a lot, right?
Oh man. Everything.
But those are the mailbags. And thank you, Randy, for helping
me. Good questions. Oh, you're welcome.
Boy, I love these questions. Keep them coming. Keep them coming to unleashed@applebiz.com. And we will try to answer them when we can.
Yeah, and you haven't stumped us. We'll
get back with you.
Yeah.
Oh, they always stump me. They always stump me. Mm.
Well, how could they? We did it. We prevailed.
That is true. Well, that's going to sum up for this month, guys. Until next month for August, we should have my part 3 in my last segment, What You Can Expect to iOS 13. I really do think a lot of you are going to love the iOS 13. It got a lot of cool stuff in it, a lot of bells and whistles. And we'll wait to see how stable comes out. I will report to you as it gets closer and closer to you.
And you are going to have a lot of work ahead of you, and so is everybody else, both learning and you teaching.
Yeah, I have. There is more. I'm going to be dumping podcasts like you wouldn't believe. There's so many new things in here. I will be showing you a bunch of stuff.
I hope you like Thomas's voice, because you're going to be hearing a lot of it. And
I'm going to have at least a couple dozen podcasts, probably, is what I'm thinking so far. Don't quote me on it, but it's looking that way. So there's a lot of podcasts to be coming when it comes to release. So thank you, Randy, for joining with me. Maybe next month we'll get Mike back.
Who?
Maybe, if he gets his house all remodeled.
We hope to have you back, because I am tired of being serious all the time. Just saying. Thanks for listening, everybody, as usual. And we sure do enjoy bringing these casts to you.
All right. Well, that is Randy Rusnak and myself, Thomas Dunville, also known as Anonymous. Until next month, see you later. Bye-bye.
This AppleVis Unleashed podcast has been brought to you by the community of AppleVis.com. For the latest in resources and tips and tricks to get you the best experience from your Apple device, visit us online at www.applevis.com.